Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, February 10th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Boy, you're loud and clear today.
Well, good.
Yeah. And it was quite loud and clear today. Gold just didn't want to muster any gains today. Down 490 today. 490 at 1234.80. Silver's down 7 cents at 17 on the nose. Platinum down 10 at 1210. And palladium down 8 at 774. That means the USDX must be higher. The USDX today up 0.16 at 94.71. And crude oil taking a beating today, down 0.2, 0.39 at 50.47. Paper markets today, they were all happy. You had triple-digit gains, 139 points on the Dow. Both the S&P and the Dow were up 1%. Both of them are both near all-time highs. So you have the Dow up 138 at 17,868. The NASDAQ up 61 at 4787. The S&P up 21 at 2068. Both the NASDAQ was up 1.3%. The S&P was up slightly over 1%. And let's see, the 10-year yield almost at 1.99, up 0.04. So just a weird day in the markets. It's just, I think it was a huge manipulation day.
I think it was a good day to go to the beach.
Maybe.
That's what I think about it. I didn't get there. Quite a ways from where I am to the nearest beach, so I didn't get to the beach today. But it's not bad. It's a little chilly out here. It's down to about 71 right now, maybe 72 here in Dallas. So we're having almost as much trouble as Boston.
With Boston has so much snow, and certainly, and you're right, Dallas is sunshiny at 70. Port Matilda is 30 and cloudy.
Well,
and the beach is 32 and cloudy. Halliburton, they became the latest oil company to feel the sting of falling oil prices. Not quite sure exactly when this report was released. Looks like today they're going to be laying off between 5,200 and 6,400 jobs as oil and the gas productions are down. And, that translates into anywhere from 6.5% to 8% of the company's global workforce. They employ about 80,000. And so they're going to be seen all across the area of Halliburton's operations. And last month, they planned to cut just 1,000. So certainly increasing the number of people that will be affected with these lower oil prices.
We'll watch and see. There's a lot of speculation on what's going to happen to the price of oil. I've seen people that are predicting it's going to fall back down to 20. And there's other people who think it's going to stay around 65 for the next 2 years, and nobody really knows. But I think myself, 45 was the bottom. That's my guesstimate. That it might be right, might be wrong, but it worked out pretty much that way. And we'll see. But it's going to have an impact. It doesn't. It's not going to go back to $100 a barrel anytime soon. And that means, that pretty much means that the oil shale industry is perhaps no longer profitable. There'll be exceptions, but generally speaking, if they've probably got to get at least $70 a barrel before you can even think about extracting it out of the shore, out of the from oil shale, and maybe more than that. There's a problem there. Everyone understands that it's not news, but how long is it going to last? Hard to say. How long do you suppose it's going to be before oil gets back on track, Melody? Do you have a prediction?
No, I don't. Certainly we could see anything erupt in the Middle East that could, have the price of oil rise again. If there's any indication, there could be some sort of supply disruption. So,
It's about demand.
It's not only about demand, it's about manipulation. And when these markets are controlled as they are, it's very difficult to try to see exactly, when these markets are going to turn around. And, I think they're consolidating. You're going to see a lot of, it's accomplishing. These low oil prices are certainly accomplishing a lot. And I think once those situations have come into line with those who control the oil prices, you'll see it start moving back up. Anything can happen. And it's very difficult because we're here to make, to give guidelines and sort of to have some sort of a prediction of what we see. And, to be truthful about everything, it's very difficult because it's not real. It's not, they're not free markets. So it's difficult, but you have your Chevron. They said last month they were going to cut their capital investments by 13% to $35 billion. Royal Dutch Shell said they plan to reduce spending by $15 billion over the next 3 years, which $15 billion over 3 years in today's terms isn't really a whole lot.
No.
BHP announced last month they were cutting the U.S. onshore rig operations by 40% this year. Schlumberger said they recently announced a layoff of 9,000. BP and the French oil company Total, they've also cut back. It's going to hurt those. Our economy was based a lot on that oil production. And so, this does truly impact, I think, very heavily.
Well, the big impact is whether we see some significant number of bonds that were issued by shale oil producing companies. They turn out to be worthless, so we'll watch and see what happens here. That'll perhaps be the, more significant impact than just, the price of oil is going down, up, down, sideways, whatever. That's interesting. It's important to a lot of people. I'm not sure that it's as necessarily as dangerous as the potential danger in the bonds. If they, they're high risk. They're junk bonds and in many instances and high risk, but still money can be, bond, the capital that's reflected by those bonds can be made to disappear. All right, all of a sudden, got a piece of paper here. We can use it to, wallpaper. How about wallpaper, Melody? Can we put our stock up on the wall for as wallpaper and make it, you know, add a little interest to the room?
Sure, why not? Mm-hmm. And just like anything else, when you see these numbers change and everything, it hurts the working guy, the blue collar guy. You know, and that's just the sign of the times anymore.
Well, it's a sign of the times, and the whole global economy has slowed. You know, the United States has allegedly picked up, and there's probably truth to that. I don't doubt that the U.S. economy has been getting better to some degree, but there's not evidence that whatever goodness is we're able to extract from the economy right now, it's not clear that it's reaching the middle class or ordinary Americans. It might be doing great for the top 0.1%, but for, you know, the other 99.9, maybe not so good. So what happens? This is where we go into this demand situation. I don't care what the price of oil is on one level. I mean, I don't care how much is produced. It's a question of who's going to buy it. And as long as the economy of the world is slow, there's just not much demand for oil. There's an oversupply at the moment. There's more oil available than there are people wanting. As long as that's true, price should stay down, might even stabilize. One of the predictors is, like I said, $65 a barrel for the next 2 years. You know, well, and even that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. You know, it would at least be stable. There is something to be said for establishing some prices that are reasonably stable. And if we can't do that, the volatility, the up and down, and the spikiness of the whole thing, there's a word called spikiness. Somebody else used that to describe the markets. It just makes people anxious. And how do you predict? Where is the trend? Trend's your friend. What's the trend? Trend is volatility.
That's true.
In many instances, that's the trend. It's volatility. Now what? Now what do? Get the tea leaves. Call the psychic hotline. Try to figure out which way, whether we're going up, down, or sideways. And, it's, you know, and where is the economy? Where is it really? I'm sure it's improving. I don't doubt that. But is it improving enough to really have a positive result? And on top of that, the big question is, even if can the U.S. economy continue to improve in the context of a global economy that has slowed down? If everybody else is slowing down, are we going to be able to continue to grow the economy? Is that likely to happen? And even if we can, is it really something the government wants? I've got an article here. Let's see. Here, this is CNBC. Why is the Fed easing again? That's the headline. In the course of December and January, the balance sheet of the U.S. Federal Reserve expanded by $187 billion to a total of $4.02 trillion. That reversal came after an impressive $246 billion liquidity withdrawal between August and November. And what they're saying is the Fed has been buying U.S. bonds again. They're back, even though they haven't talked about it exactly. They are back engaging in quantitative easing, or at least that's the appearance from December and January. Well, what does that mean? They're trying to cause inflation. They're not talking about it where they're coming out and say, okay, this is quantitative easing four, and that's what we're going to do. Not saying that, but they are apparently doing it for at least 2 months. Are they going to do it in February too, in March and April? Or is this just 2 months where they're going to do a little quantitative easing and then they'll back off again? I've argued, you know, for several months that deflation is so contrary to government interests that I've been astonished that we've watched the U.S. dollar index increase from, I don't remember, 72 thereabouts on up to 95. even higher, even over 95 over a period of 7-8 months. That's, to me, is evidence of deflation. It's not proof that deflation is predominant, but it's absolute, to my mind, absolute evidence that deflation is growing. All right? Prices are falling. Not everything, but a lot, significantly. Dollar is gaining in value, all of which is absolutely lethal to people who've borrowed money. People, we borrow money when there's significant inflation because you get to pay off your debts with cheaper dollars. And by cheaper dollars, we mean if I borrow $1 million today with the idea that I pay it off 5 years from now. By the time we get to the five-year mark, if inflation has been here during that time, I'm going to pay back $1 million, but it might only have $900,000 in purchasing power as compared to the $1 million I borrowed. All right? That is an encouragement for people to go out and say, yeah, I'll borrow some money, because people know they're going to get to rob the creditor to some degree. But if you have deflation, the dollar becomes more valuable. Now if I borrow $1 million and I wait 5 years to pay it off, I may actually pay off the equivalent of $1,100,000 in terms of purchasing power. I'm still going to give them $1 million, but the $1 million may buy an extra 10% or 20% as compared to what the $1 million would have bought when I borrowed it. Net result is it's hard for me to make that payment. It's hard for me to repay that debt. The extra value of the dollar as it deflates creates a burden for people who have borrowed money, and it tends to push them into bankruptcy. That not all of them, probably not even a majority of them, but a significant percentage are pushed into bankruptcy. And when they do, then we get a domino effect. And, you know, somebody goes bankrupt and then somebody else goes bankrupt. And next thing you know, it's part of the reason why deflation and economic depression are so difficult to escape once you get into them. Hard to beat these things, because there really is a domino effect. The government wants inflation. They've wanted it throughout my lifetime. It's part of the reason why an ounce of gold is only worth, or excuse me, the, in terms of gold, the dollar is only worth a nickel or less compared to what it was even 40 years ago. That's persistent inflation, government policy. Couldn't have happened by accident. And yet we've had something like deflation for the last 8 months, perhaps. And government up until now has seemingly ignored it, which just astonished me. But maybe they're catching up. Maybe they're just saying, okay, we've got to do something about this. We've got to have inflation. Inflation is good for the government. Why? Because the government is the biggest debtor in the world. It wants inflation. It's got to have inflation. Deflation is lethal. It will force the government to admit that it can't pay its debt. And if that happens, the whole thing goes up for grabs. If they have to admit the government's bankrupt, insolvent, can't pay its debts, can't even pay the interest on its debts, then we are on the edge of a, you know, what may be a financial collapse. So, where we're on the edge of right now is some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in about 2.5-3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We still have those Swiss francs, BU Swiss francs, 0.1867 amount of gold in the coin. Beautiful coins, $275, and that includes your shipping costs. They can call us at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And you can continue to listen to this program's archives. They're posted there along with a live program. Just go to the radio page. And we thank you for your support, and we thank you for listening.
Okay.
All righty. Someone sent me a video. We're going to start here, and then we can go into some of this other news, Al. I guess this happened Sunday night. Monday, there was a huge explosion at a chemical plant, and, you know, it's funny because Kiev blames a dropped cigarette butt at this huge explosion, and there's been,
how stupid that is?
I know.
If you have a reasonably modern chemical plant, how likely is it that you can set that thing off, set it ablaze with a lighted cigarette? It's not impossible. I understand that, but just the same, that should be improbable. All right, they should have that thing pretty much. The joints should be tight. There shouldn't be, 1,000 gallons of gasoline just laying around out on the parking lot waiting for somebody to drop a match or something. It's unlikely, but the reason it's interesting, of course, is, as you know, initial reports, it was a really extraordinary explosion. And some people thought it was a nuclear bomb that had been detonated. And I think if that had been the case, it would have been confirmed by now. This happened yesterday, if I understand correctly. And if there'd actually been a nuclear explosion, it would have been verified by now, and they would have had media around the world screaming that somebody launched a nuclear weapon over in Ukraine. But I saw the video yesterday, and I didn't see anything that looked like a mushroom cloud. It was a big explosion, no question. But if it had been atomic, it couldn't have been concealed. It would have flattened a city. I think what you got mostly, we've had an impressive explosion over there, but I think it's mostly a ball of flame from the chemicals. I don't know that we had a real shockwave. Right? Undoubtedly, there was one there, but not the sort of shockwave that you'd get out of a nuclear device that had flattened everything in the vicinity. This is, you know, a big whoomph, and the chemicals go up, and very impressive. But I don't believe it was nuclear. So,
you know, it is funny how they reported on this story. I mean, this factory is known for producing chemical products used for industrial explosives, ammunition, equipment, artillery, bombs. So, I mean, this is a production of those types of situations, then yeah, you'd have a massive explosion like that. And they did come out and say it was most likely it was high caliber artillery shell. But what's interesting is here you have this huge chemical plant, and they said that after the explosion, it poses no threat of a chemical spill. How could you have that type of an explosion and not have a threat of a chemical spill?
If you burn up all the chemicals, we're not going to spill it. Now the atmosphere may be polluted so badly that it'll shorten your life by 5 or 10 years if you breathe the fumes, but we have burned all of the you know, the toxic chemicals, they all went up in smoke.
Yeah, sort of like...
So, good news. No spill problem. Atmosphere problem? Yeah. Spill problem? No.
Kind of like Benghazi. Oh, it was a video. You know, that started the situation.
I understand.
But there has also been news that has been reported that they do have possible talks or a dialogue for peace. They're supposed to start a peace dialogue between Kiev and the rebels, are the top of the agenda at the Normandy 4 talks in the capital, Minsk, on Wednesday. And then there was also a report that Obama is calling Putin before these talks to discuss some sort of peace, some ceasefire or peace in eastern Ukraine. And I'd also received a report, so maybe there is something going on bigger than what we know. I got a quick blurb from one of my sources that had mentioned that the Russian ruble was down against the dollar 2% early in trade this morning, and it has since reversed itself here in the last, now it's probably been about the last 45 minutes. So, you know, you don't know. But, you know, when you see these things happen from a big explosion to peace talks to Obama talking to Putin, you wonder what really, truly happened behind the scenes. We're certainly not getting the truth.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that the chemical plant went up accidentally, and it's just an embarrassment for Ukraine. And they don't want to talk about it particularly. Somebody might have been
smoking,
drunk on the job.
No smoking.
No smoking
at a chemical plant.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's just a big embarrassment. And, you know, the Ukraine, we hear about these reports that the Russian economy is in jeopardy, the ruble is falling, the value of the ruble is falling, all these problems for Russia. Ukraine is basically broke. It needs more money from the United States to maintain, you know, the illusion of solvency. They're busted down, and now they're going to have peace talks between the Ukraine, who probably can't afford to buy any more bullets, with the rebels, and they're probably nothing more, in a lot of respects, a coalition of gangs who probably aren't working in a very coherent manner. Huh? It's not just one organized army facing another. You've got one country that's broke facing... You've got one government that's broke, facing members of what should be its own people. Turns out it's the Russians, rather the Russian heritage, rather than the Ukrainian heritage. But regardless, they're there in the Ukraine. And they're going to discuss what's going to be a peace. They're going to make a peace settlement. Why don't they just have a peace settlement between Russia and the United States? They're the ones that are pretty much calling the shots over there. Just tell you, like, you kids go over and play. Go down to the corner and buy yourself a Coke or something like that. Just tell the rebels, go buy yourself a Coke. You and the Ukrainian army, get out of here. Go grease your, you know, your tank tracks or whatever you got to do, whatever you've got to do over there. Get out of here, and we'll let the adults decide what will happen in Ukraine. In the end, that's what it's going to be. There isn't going to be peace in the Ukraine unless the United States is prepared to have that peace. I don't think there's going to be peace in Ukraine unless Putin's ready to have that peace. So, you know, to my mind, those are the people who ought to just look. We'll work. We'll settle it.
Have you been following the story about the HSBC Bank?
Yes.
Well, you know, that has been the Clinton Foundation received up to $81 million from clients of this controversial HSBC Bank.
I understand. The HSBC, this is interesting. I mean, it's a big and complex story, all right? HSBC is the second largest bank in the world. And here's an article from The Guardian, which is an English publication. Headline is, U.S. government faces pressure after biggest leak in banking history. Now, this is just fascinating because they're talking about, oh, this leak. Oh, my gosh. And if you're reading the headlines, you might suppose this leak happened last week or in the last month. And no, it's 5 years. Okay? And they've identified 30,000 accounts that they call black accounts. They are endowed with a level of secrecy that has prevented the U.S. government in the past from knowing who's there and what they're doing with their money and whatever. Out of these accounts, 2,900 of them out of the 30,000, roughly 10%, are from the United States. And when I saw the article yesterday, the day before when I first saw it, I thought to myself, I'd sure like to know who those 2,900 Americans are. And they may be institutions, not just individuals. But I'd like to know who they are, because you've got to be connected, in my opinion, to something more, you know, something powerful in order to be an American who has been banking at the HSBC in these secret black accounts. If you could identify those 2,900 names of individuals and or American institutions that were investing in HSB, you'd have a pretty good indication of who the real gangsters are in this country and what group of people compose the elite. I mean, it would be powerful information. And then I was hoping to find out who they were. And then we saw an article today, Hillary Clinton and her husband Bill and their daughter Chelsea are running a charity foundation, and they have received $81 million from people who had accounts at HSBC Bank. All right. Now, this is not to say that the Clintons are up to anything shady, but, all right, knowing the Clintons, it would be astonishing if they weren't up to something shady. So in any case, it's interesting, fascinating. The question now is whether our government is going to enforce monetary control acts like FATCA against all Americans who invest in foreign banks, or if they're going to ignore the law in relation to the super rich and only enforce against those with modest wealth. I'm going to bet that the Americans who are banking at HSBC, not all of them, but some of them are among the America's elite. They're super rich. And are they too rich to jail? We'll watch and see. There's actually been more activity coming out of the government than I expected And they've certainly raised enough conversation, enough energy. They've put enough energy into it to make us think that, who knows, maybe they will go after some of these, some of the super rich. But we've had this, according to the report Guardian. According to the report, they identify four different people who've been charged criminally by the government, right, Americans. One is a surgeon. One is someone of Indian extraction from India. They mention two taxpayers, and they don't identify them. They don't say how many people have been tried, but they imply, as I read it, they imply that they may have only gone after 10 people criminally in the past 5 years, and maybe not even 10. The article reports, you know, four. Perhaps they went after 10 in 5 years. At that rate, we've got 2,900. If we do 10 every 5 years, that's 2 a year, I think. How long will it take us, Melody? 2,900 divided by 10, multiplied by 5, whatever. I think it works out to something like 150 years. And we'll get everybody prosecuted at the current rate. Well, what's it tell you? It's the sort of thing that certainly inspires your cynicism. And you look at it and you say, I know what these guys... I don't really know what they're up to. None of us do. But it's the sort of thing that inspires your cynicism, and you think, he's, you know, the politicians, the wealthy, this is one of the places they've been squirreling their money away, and contrary to the best interests of the American people.
You know, I was reading part of this, that this one guy's last name is Karen. I'm not quite sure. You know, he's buddies with the Clintons and so forth, and supposedly donated, quite a bit. And, you just can't even relate. Here in late 2008, they had this charity, a Russian ball. This Karen arranged for an 18th century. It was an event. Catherine the Great Winter's Palace was where it was held. And they actually borrowed costumes from the Hermitage Museum. And these costumes were tailor-fitted for each guest at this event. You had Bill Clinton. He was dressed as the Russian general. And, of course, they were partying with other VIP guests. So you had Elizabeth Hurley. And, of course, you know, entertainment is one of their, you know, the elite's favorite entertainer is Elton John. Why? I don't know. But it just seems the elite like him. And, of course, then the donations to the charity and so forth, the money was transferred to Bill Clinton's foundation as a contribution following his involvement in this function. So, I mean, it's... You know, I mean, it's just hard to wrap your mind around, borrowing costumes from a museum to have them tailored.
I understand. And not only borrowing them, but having them tailored.
Tailored!
The costumes are being modified, at least, and perhaps even a little bit destroyed. Now, the Hermitage, if I understand correctly, major museum in Russia?
It does. It just says the Hermitage Museum, which is where they, but I would assume, because they had the 18th century Russian costumes that were borrowed from them. So, yes, I would assume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, why don't you go ahead and go to some museum and say, I would like to borrow these costumes here. We're going to do a little play or have a dance or whatever. And we'd like some costumes for the American Revolution. Do you have anything that George Washington wore? And I got a friend of mine who's 5 foot tall, and we'll just modify Washington's clothes in order to fit this guy who's 5 foot tall, and got Dolly Madison. Slim that down for some friend of mine who dresses up like the Catwoman most of the time, but she's going to do Dolly Madison this time. Try it. See what happens. It's astonishing that it would be.
It is.
It's just astonishing. It's the sort of thing, and it's evidence that these people are living in an entirely different world than the balance of us. They're going at life in a, you know, life is apparently good for these people, and not a little bit good, super good, good beyond what most people can imagine.
And these were the same people that didn't even own a home until they went to Washington.
Well, politics has been very, very good to me. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188. Discount gold and silver. All your gold and silver coin needs. Where do we want to go now, Melody?
Don't forget our special Swiss francs, brilliant uncirculated, $275. That includes your shipping cost. It's a great buy, and they're beautiful, really beautiful coins. Very highly recognizable and acceptable. So they can give us a call, and it's a great deal with shipping. So give us a call. To your portfolio. Yes, Al.
Well, we're talking about the HSBC.
Mm-hmm.
HSBC Global and its U.S. bank was forced to pay a $1.9 billion fine 2 years ago after the Department of Justice uncovered evidence that HSBC subsidiaries had enabled clients to breach U.S. sanctions against Cuba, Sudan, and Iran. And due to oversight failures, allowed Mexican drug cartels to launder billions of dollars. Okay. These were oversight failures. This has nothing to do with bribes. No one was taking any bribes. This was an oversight failure that they allowed Mexican drug cartels to launder billions of dollars. The deal that was unveiled in December 2012, 6 months after the damning investigation into HSBC Global and its U.S. affiliate by the Senate permanent subcommittee for investigations. The deal was unveiled by them. The deferred prosecution agreement made no mention of evidence of tax evasion connected with HSBC's Swiss banking division, even though the U.S. government had received the leaked data 2 years earlier. And this was another oversight failure, I'm sure. But here's where it gets interesting from my perspective. The 2012 settlement was overseen by who? Loretta Lynch, who was then U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. Lynch is currently Barack Obama's current nominee for Attorney General. Do you suppose they have any costumes over at the Hermitage that are being tailored for her measurements, Melody?
Perhaps.
If she gets to be Attorney General, does she get to live large, or is it just a job rather than an adventure? At the time, the HSBC settlement was heavily criticized by both Republicans and Democrats for allowing the bank to escape criminal indictments and keep the charter which enables it to operate in the U.S. Lynch and other senior Department of Justice officials defended the deal, pointing out that it committed HSBC to a 5-year plan to stamp out money laundering and other illicit practices, an ongoing process that is being overseen by an independent court-appointed monitor. Now, I don't know if Lynch has got a costume at the Hermitage, but I'll bet the monitor does. All right? That'll be my guess. And why does it take 5 years to stamp out money laundering? You would think, I would think at least, that if the board of directors for HSBC or the CEO or whoever's in charge over there, he said, look, we just got fined almost $2 billion and we're threatened with jail time. So there's not going to be any more money laundering in this bank. And I don't mean there's not going to be any more money laundering next year or 2 years from now or 5 years from now. I mean starting right now. I'm not going to jail for the rest of you clowns in HSBC who might not want to launder some money. But apparently they're going to have a 5-year process of stamping out money laundering and other illicit practices, which means for the next 5 years, it may still be possible to launder money through HSBC. That's the implication of the statement here. I don't know what to say beyond it's a lot of money moving around, and it will attract the worst in everybody. You get exposed to that kind of money, and it's like being stuck in a room full of uranium, U-235. It's hot, hard to avoid. Temptation is enormous. And, for example, a $2 billion fine. What difference does it make if somebody steals $1 million out of that? What difference does it make in a $2 billion fine? The money is sloshing around up there. These people are living at a level where money just, it rolls around like waves in a swimming pool. What else do we have, Melody?
Can't we go swimming?
Yeah. But it,
it is, and you know, Murray did send me the link to Wikipedia to the Heritage Museum, and it is a beautiful building, and yes, it is in Russia, and it is a very beautiful, you know, building, and so.
Well, maybe this has something to do with Russia being in a financial problem right now. Maybe they made a good deal.
Maybe they didn't invite him to the party.
Maybe the Russians didn't even take the costumes out of the museums. Maybe they just said, "Here come a bunch of these drunken rich people. We'll just pull some costumes out of Central Casting and send them over there and tell them they were from the museum."
Maybe Putin wasn't invited.
Yeah, I'm sure he was invited. I don't think I'd want to go to that party if Putin wasn't there. If Putin's there, I don't expect to see any bombs. If he's not there, who knows? Maybe it's not so safe. What's next?
Well, speaking of the IRS, we have documents on the Tea Party. They're not going to, Obama does not want to release those documents.
Mm-hmm. 500 or so.
500 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Obama will not release IRS documents on Tea Party targeting. 20 months after the IRS scandal broke, this is where we found out that the government was, and the IRS in particular, was preventing conservative groups, Tea Party members in particular, and conservative groups from having access to political action committees, for example, where they had certain tax advantages, and they just slowed them down. They said they dragged it out. It might take a couple of years to get approval. Where a liberal organization applying for one of these tax exemptions and perhaps a political action committee or something along those lines, they'd get them quickly. Conservatives got them slowly, big scandal, largely forgotten. But it's still dragging on. And what's offensive about this is the government and the Obama administration will not release over 500 documents. The world's not going to come to an end because they won't release these documents. But we have to, it's how do you avoid the suspicion that these documents are evidence of overt crime being committed by some people in the Obama administration? We're not talking about concealing 1,000 documents. Or 20,000 documents, and there might be that many. I don't know how many there are. I'm talking about just 500. They must be selected and say, nope, we're not going to show you this one, this one, this one, or this one. Why not? Well, because we're engaged in criminal activity. That's the clear implication here. And if you've got a scandal like this, why not just put it all on the table? Why don't you say, all right, here's the 500 documents. Make of it what you will. We'll fire anybody that was involved in the situation, and let's start with a clean, start with a clean slate. Get back to business. Nope, they're going to sustain this. And it's offensive because it leads you to the conclusion, and it might be a mistake, but still, you look at this and you think, they're a bunch of crooks. That's all. And they don't care whether you know it or I know it or anybody thinks about it. They're a bunch of crooks. They're going to conceal their crime and probably get away with it.
Well, this will get you riled up, Al. The IRS commissioner today, since we're talking about the IRS, confirmed today that illegal immigrants granted amnesty from deportation under Obama's new policies would be able to get extra refunds.
Yeah.
From the IRS.
That's important.
Would get extra refunds from the IRS for money they earned while working illegally as long as they filed returns during those years. Those who are granted the amnesty will be given official Social Security numbers, which means they can go back and amend up to 3 years of previous tax forms to claim the earned income tax credit. And that's potentially claiming billions of dollars in additional payments they were ineligible for before the amnesty. They said they have already filed returns for those back years. And there's a statute of limitations, of course, of how far they can go back, but said that the agency's current interpretation of the laws would allow them to claim the earned income credit retroactively.
Well, we talked yesterday about they were setting up hotlines for illegal immigrants coming into the country. Wanted to know, how was your experience crossing the river or whatever? Did anybody treat you unjustly when you came into the country illegally? And now they're going to give them extra tax returns for illegal aliens. This is another one of these situations where you sit back and you say, how do you avoid the conclusion that this government is run by a bunch of gangsters, criminals, and racketeers? We are rewarding people that we know to be here illegally. That's got to be enough to cause some people some concern. We're setting up hotlines. We talked yesterday about maybe a welcome wagon. We can get the Border Patrol, instead of rounding these people up, they get across the river, come on over here, we'll have a barbecue for them right there on, you know, here on the United States side of the river. And barbecue, a little cerveza, you know. It's insane. We're not protecting ourselves. And what really galls me is we have the troops and the money to meddle in the affairs of the world. We can take part in whatever's going on in Syria. We can take part in whatever's going on in Iraq. We can fight ISIS. We can get involved in every problem there is on the face of the globe, but we don't have the money or the resources to protect our own borders. Not an accident. Can't be an accident. They don't want the border protected. That's why they go out of their way to encourage the illegal aliens to come here. It's part of a design to create the North American Union, a coalition of Canada, United States, and Mexico into ultimately a single nation that has no borders to divide, and everybody can go anywhere they want to go within those three nations. That's where they're headed on this. And your president is doing that, and so are most of your congressmen and your senators, and those that aren't in that deal aren't doing anything to stop it.
You know, Al, I thought that your cities along the border, I always thought they had a problem with immigration. But I'll tell you what, this morning I heard the mayor of San Diego, and I was shocked to the degree where he was talking about how important Tijuana was and their relationship with Mexico and their ability to cross and their trade agreements and their communications. And he just went on and on and on. And I was surprised. I mean, I get that a lot of these border towns do depend on, you know, some of those funds for their economy on the border. But I was really shocked at the degree. So I started thinking, well, what about these other cities? I know El Paso. I mean, they've been working right along the border. So how many of these cities along the border really don't want any borders set up? They don't want these border laws enforced.
Well, I don't have an answer for the question, but insofar as we have mayors and whatever public officials who are extolling the virtues mm-hmm. of allowing illegals to come into this country, what we're seeing is a shift in values, and I talk about it from time to time. We are no longer functioning as a nation. We're functioning as an economy. The question isn't whether these people are illegal. The question is, can we make a buck off of them? Huh? If we can profit from bringing the illegals in, bring them in. If it destroys the country, to hell with the country. We're talking about more money, more money, more money. Somebody's got to put an end to this, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but hopefully we will live to see it. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.